Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline from ESPN and ABC, it is the great Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, guys. How is everything?
It's great here, obviously, after last night. And Yeah, you may be one of those who's going to say that you saw this coming, but and there are many around here who are now acting like they did, but no way, shape, or form did I see this Celtics team sweeping the Nets.
I didn't see a sweep, but I mean, they're clearly a better team. They have been for the last 3 months, so it didn't surprise me that they were dominant. But sweeping Kevin Durant, I think, is obviously an incredible accomplishment. And the way they did it, they played better on offense than they did on defense at times, which is a great balance for them because they have the great defense. And to combine that with really good offense, makes them what they are, which is truly a championship contender.
Jeff, when you look at this game, Paul Pierce had tweeted out that this is Jason Tatum passing Kevin Durant as far as, you know, just based on the performance. Do you feel that same way in this performance? Is it this like Jason Tatum coming out party to saying, okay, he might have passed KD as far as being, you know, one of the best basketball players in the NBA?
Yeah, well, I would just say Jason Tatum is a unbelievably great player, and he's improved from being a dominant scorer to a best player on what could be the best team because he is now passing the ball consistently, making the right plays, which engenders unselfishness on the whole for the whole team. And then defensively, he's been awesome. His commitment to the defensive end of the floor and his actual defensive skill, anticipation, is off the charts. But I also don't diminish the greatness of Kevin Durant. I don't get into the rankings like, you know, Paul was saying maybe he thinks he's passed him. If you take Tatum and I get Durant, I feel good. If you've got Durant and I've got Tatum, I feel good too. So to me, I think what often happens in comparisons is that you diminish somebody else. And I would never want to diminish Kevin Durant or all he's done in the game of basketball.
Jeff, well, when it comes to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, Kyrie's saying now that, you know, they're going to be in it for the long haul when it comes to the Nets. During the playoff series, they were saying that it was just them not being able to gel. What do you attribute that to? Do you think it was more maybe they just don't play well together, or was it what was going on off the court and maybe KD speaking out about Kyrie and the Celtics fans?
Yeah, they had a lot of things go wrong in Brooklyn this year, but the biggest thing that went wrong for them in this series was Boston's a lot better than them. And that's it. Like, you know, Brooklyn had injuries. They had the Ben Simmons situation. They didn't get a good seed or a high enough seed to avoid a great team like Boston because of injury, Kyrie's vaccination, Durant's injury, Simmons sitting out. But at the end of the day, Boston's just better. They play better. They're better constructed from a roster standpoint. And I think with all the talk about what Brooklyn didn't do, it diminishes just what Boston did do. And Boston is just a better team.
Kyrie Irving appeared to indicate that he is going to, maybe as a player GM or something, have some sort of a management role with the franchise going forward. I don't know if you heard that comment last night where he said that the dynamic between he and KD and the Nets front office would be a co-management relationship. Any idea what that means?
You know, he's hard for me to, I don't speak fluent Kyrie. So, I'm being serious. I don't know. Like, to me, if I was I think they call the governors now, not the owners, but yeah, the governor. If I was the governor, Joe Tsai, I'd be like, we're not in this together. It's my team, and I'll dictate what I think should happen, and then we'll all talk about it. Like, you guys know, every great player on a team of significance, the best players like Durant and Kyrie Irving are consulted and talked to about what they see, because their experiences and their knowledge gained through long careers are valued. But usually that's the players keep that, like Brady did when he was with the Patriots. They keep that on the down low. They're not so boastful about that, you know, they're going to, you know, they'll be consulting with ownership, or ownership will be consulting with them. I think if you're their management and ownership group, you have to do a long thought process on what's the best roster construction in today's NBA around Kevin Durant. And to me, the Simmons situation is really messy, because you don't know heading into next year even what you're going to have. And then, are you better served to surround Durant and Simmons with like a star player like Kyrie Irving, or are you better served to go out and try to find depth, you know, instead of one, let's say, $40 million player, two $20 million players, or three $13 million players? I think they have a lot to think about when it comes to roster construction. But again, I just don't speak fluent Kyrie. Sometimes when he's talking, he's way above me. I you know, I'm not as smart as some of those discussions.
Jeff Van Gundy is our guest. We go back and forth all the time on this show on the turnaround when it comes to the Celtics team and who gets the primary credit for it. Do you give that credit to the coaching change, or do you give that credit to Jason Tatum finally assuming the mantle of leadership on this team?
No, I don't think there's one point of delineation where they went from, you know, sub 500 to becoming a great team. If you take it all the way back to last year when they lost in the first round to the Nets, the rosters were flipped. Brooklyn's roster was so much better than the roster that Boston had. You know, Boston was hurt, Jaylen Brown out, number of other guys, small, tiny guys, no Horford. I think Robert Williams missed a few of those games as well. And so this year they have a new front office, a new coaching staff. They struggle to finish off close games. But I think what continued to get better was their defense got better and better. I think Ime Udoka did a great job in cutting back on their rotation, playing less guys and playing those guys more. I think when they got to that eight and a half man rotation, it really helped them. I think inserting Marcus Smart into the starting lineup as your point guard, gave them great size throughout their starting lineup, which allowed their switching defense to really take hold, which they couldn't have employed last year with the smaller point guards that they played or with Schroeder earlier in the year. And so I think it was a number of those things. And then Tatum and Brown delivering on a nightly basis and Robert Williams' ascension were terrific. And I think the undersold part of it is what a great job Brad Stevens has done putting together a championship caliber roster and transforming what was in last year's playoff just a mediocre roster that was injured into this championship caliber roster. So I think everybody deserves credit. You know, Brad Stevens, ownership, Ime and his staff have done a fabulous job, and the players always deserve the lion's share of the credit because they're the ones doing the work on the floor.
Well, Jeff, I think that you're fluent in one language, and I believe you and your brother, I don't know if it was taught in the house, would be the officiating. You know, I've been a lifelong basketball fan, and I remember the times when, you know, you were coaching those Knicks teams. And it seems like now the officiating is kind of gotten out of control, but I don't know if that has to do with how bad flopping is. How can, you know, the NBA fix this problem that I think you and your brother do a great job of highlighting during the games, whether it is just bad calls or is the bad calls come because of with there being so much flopping now in the NBA?
Well, actually, you know, listen, I think the NBA officials on the whole do a terrific job. This is a hard game to officiate because you don't want to be overburdened with excessive whistles, and yet you don't want the physicality to become so great that it takes away from the great talents of our best players. So they're always trying to walk a fine line. And couple that with the NBA officiating group, I think it's 60-some, they have had major losses from that group of highly experienced, great officials over the last decade. That group has been gutted by retirements, people moving into the NBA officiating group that oversees the actual officials. There's been a number of high-level officials that have left. This officiating group is going through a rebuilding phase just like a team would. So,
well, it's because they wanted them to work. The refs wanted to work remote. It was a part of the Great Resignation,
yeah.
I think.
Well, you know what? I say this. The one thing that has made no sense to me is taking great officials off the floor and moving them into areas of management. Because that makes like saying like, yeah, we'd be better served with LeBron James not playing for us, but being our general manager, you know, of the Lakers. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, but there has been a talent drain. And I think they're trying to rebuild through that. And, you know, it's just, it's a process and it's sometimes hard. And let's face it now, players complain on every play. And usually they're wrong in their complaints. So, you know, we may spend too much time as announcers talking about this call or that call, but I know players, you know, we don't go to them to see if they, if the right calls are being made because they never think they foul and they think they've always been fouled.
Hey, Jeff, just curious your thoughts. You obviously cover the entire league, the landscape and how the rest of the NBA now views Boston as compared to before January of this season, where here it was sort of if not when they were breaking up Jalen and Jason. And now it appears, having gotten past the Nets, that Boston may now be a top destination for free agents going forward.
Yeah, I'm not sure how free agents, you know, free agency is usually about money and opportunity in that order. And so, quite frankly, there's not a lot of opportunity right now in Boston. They're pretty set in their rotation. So I don't know about the free agent part, but I know the respect level for Boston is great because when you play against a team with great overall size and a commitment to the defensive end of the floor, it's going to be hard to score on them in a series. And most likely they've got Milwaukee next, and they've got great players there. But Boston has a favorable health situation going into that with Middleton being hurt. So everything is opening up right now favorably for Boston. And they just have to use this downtime that they're going to get because of the sweep. They just have to use it well to rest, recharge, but not lose the edge that they've developed over the last 3 months where they're the best team in the NBA.
All right, Jeff. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time with us this morning, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again as the Celtics move on to round two.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. Take care.
That is Jeff Van Gundy. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.